But being one who has been called into the career of ministry, you've been called into a career of whatever, nursing or mechanic or whatever you may have been called into. And I've been called into a career of ministry. Now, I'm responsible for certain things that maybe you're not, and you're responsible for certain things that maybe I'm not. But we're not talking, I'm not talking at this moment, I'm talking about a call to ministry. And I'm talking about what that means for me to be able to do and to engage in the Word of God and to help others understand the Word of God. That's part of the job description, if you will, of the Bible, of my calling. And that you've heard me say many, many times, 31,104 verses in the Bible. It's been given to all of us to live by and to spend time in personally and to read and to let that Bible, let those words saturate our soul. But as one has been called into ministry, I have been given the task, so to speak, to proclaim, to teach from the Word of God. And so, just to be honest, sometimes it's easier to teach from the Word of God than it is other times. Yeah, I calculated in a year so far that I've been walking with God that I have probably 40,000 hours studying the Word of God. And some of that has been for personal reasons, and some of that has been for corporate teaching reasons. But just to be honest, in the 31,104 verses in the Bible, some of them are yes, I see it plainly there. And other ones were, yeah, I don't see it so plainly there. And then other ones I always, is this for today? And that's where I'm at today. I'm asking the question, is this for today? And there's many scriptures that maybe people would write off and say, that was for then. But I want to know I don't believe that any of the 31,104 verses was for then, and yet God preserved them for us, but they're not for us. It just doesn't seem logical to me that he would record something in the Bible and preserve it for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and then say, well, that's just written there for your to know way it was, not for the way it is today. I struggle with that. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that's not for today. Now, I think we need to understand the culture and understand what's going on in the original audience to help us get the full, the not just the letter of the law, but the heart of the law as well. And so this morning, I just open with this one verse, and I just asking myself, is this a 21st century truth? Is this still happening today? And it's from Ephesians, and it's not on your outline, but just let me read it. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Now, we might say, yes, that's for today, but if you listen to most people, they skip over the first two of those. And apostles and prophets don't seem to get as much time as teachers and pastors. But he includes it in the same verse, and I'm wondering, is that still true today? Is that a 21st century truth that God still gives, Jesus still gives some to be apostles and some to be prophets? Not just pastors and teachers, because we need apostles and we need prophets to be able to equip people to do the works of God, to do the works of ministry. And I'm coming down on the side, it's legit. It's 21st century truth. He didn't just report it or record it for and say, sorry, that it stinks to be you, but that was just for 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It's not for today. I don't believe it. I take this verse that Jesus still assigns some to be apostles and some to be prophets. I needed to make that statement because I believe I interacted in the last couple weeks. I interacted with a 21st century prophet. Now, I don't think that he was going to give me information that is outside of what God wanted it to be. A prophet is someone who carries a message from God. That's what a prophet is. And I think you can get a word from someone, and I think that's a message from God. And I still think we have prophetic words. We still have prophets among us. And I think I interacted with one. The prophetic word is that message. It's a message from God. Know that the word will never, that word will never be in opposition to God's word. If it's a prophet of God, he won't be giving you something that speaks in direct opposition to the word of God. That's not from God. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. His word is his word. It always is living and active. It's still the word of God. So if a prophet gives you a word and it's in opposition to the word of God, go find another prophet. But there are prophets in this world, I believe, that give us a word from God. Some of you may have that experience before in your life from interacting with a prophet, and some of you may have had that prophetic experience in your life where you're the one giving the word. Some of you may think I'm crazy. If I'm crazy, I'm going to go all in. You might as well be completely certifiable. The word does not, and that word does not supersede the word of God. It does not change it and does not supersede it. The word can reveal particular messages from God to a group or an individual. Hang with me, we're getting there. But I got to set this where I'm going because I've interacted with this 21st century prophet and I think he brought a word to me. The word, it can start a journey or affirm a journey or alter the journey. But the word is not the journey. Just so you know, the word is not the journey. The word, the prophetic word you get someone from someone is not the journey. It can start a journey, it can affirm a journey, or it can fuel a journey, but it's not the journey itself. Now, we can talk more about that if you want to come to a life group. We'll engage more about that. But I don't think the word is to start, is the journey itself. I'm not seeking word after word after word after word. I'm seeking God after God, 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 God. That's the journey, is seeking God. And the words come in to fuel that journey or to start that journey to, for you to seek after God or to know more about God. Don't focus on the word. The word is supposed to point you toward God. It's the same thing with the written word. The written word is to point you toward a living God. And so any word that you might get from a prophetic word or from a prophet is to point you toward God, is to point you toward the journey. The word does not become the journey. The journey is the intimacy with God and the actions that it causes. So in this interaction with this 21st century prophet, I believe that in Ephesians that Jesus still gives some to be prophets. In that interaction with this prophet, this conversation that I had with him took place outside. And as we were interacting and he was speaking, just sharing some stuff, and all of a sudden he noticed that there were many birds in the air and just flying around. Just there's multiple birds. They just become very evident. It's like when you have a black and white photo and you color part of it, and all of a sudden parts of it stick out. The rest of it's black and white and the rest of it sticks out. That's kind of the thing that seemed to be evident at that moment. I knew something was going on because all of a sudden I was seeing things that like black and white setting, but I was hearing and seeing the birds that had front and center platform. Stick with me. Don't let me confuse you. It's still a little confusing to me. But the several birds were flying around and they were visible. The conversation included the prophetic symbolism. And the prophetic symbolism that God will use in our lives to point us certain directions. And all of a sudden he began to tell me that a hawk often will represent is a prophetic symbol of God's apostolic anointing. So in a hawk, if you see a hawk, and often it'll point to that God is going to do something in the apostolic anointing. And we talked about that some. The hawk can be a sign of the apostolic anointing. An apostle is one who is sent or one who carries the light, who advances the light into new grounds, into new territories, not just new countries or new mission fields, but into new dark spots. That's where the apostle gets the light and pushes it and takes it into these spots. So that's the apostle. So I read in 2 Corinthians 12:12, it says this, the signs of a true apostle are performed among you with utmost patience. They are this. They are signs and wonders and mighty works. So now I'm really getting, I don't know whether what I'm getting at this moment as I read this, as I study that, and as I begin to unpack what he has told me. Now there's signs, which are miracles and wonders or unusual events. This is a sign of an apostolic anointing, he says. That's what the scripture says. That's not what the prophet said. The prophet said to me that a hawk can be a symbol of God's apostolic anointing. Not the choosing of an apostle. I'm talking about an apostolic anointing. And as I unpack that some more, just a few moments after that, I start to learn that the signs of apostle are miracles and unusual events and works resulting from supernatural power. Listen, you might think I've had too much sun. Maybe I have. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I'm starting to move toward this. And I said, God, what do you want me to do with this information? The anointing, the power to advance this light. So now all of a sudden we have a light carrier and we have the power to advance the light. That's the apostolic anointing in my definition. In my study and in my research and my prayer time and my own time with God, this is where I've come to. The apostolic anointing is the power given to you or to me to advance the light into dark spots. So the next day, it was July 26th, which was last Sunday. I arrived here in the morning, and someone had pulled in, and they were earlier than anyone else, and after a couple of minutes, I had went out to say hello to them. And as I went out to say hello, as I did, I noticed this bird was flying from the east to the west. The sun was so bright shining on this bird that you could definitely tell this bird had a completely red tail. So much so that the tail was almost illuminated. So now all of a sudden I'm looking at a red tail and I understand, I know enough that a red tail is, it belongs to a hawk. Okay, so I watch the hawk fly from the east to the west, and I watch it go over there in that big tree, and I watch it stand in that big tree. I watch it land in that big tree back in the corner of this property. Just like to survey the property. And all of a sudden, this conversation that I'd had, and this research and this study that I had, because I truly believe that I was talking to a 21st century prophet. I really believe it was a word from God. And I just don't want to take it lightly. I want to know what it means. I want to chew it up. I want to digest it. I want it to be a part of my life. And as I watched that hawk go from east to the west, and I watched him land in the tree over there, that conversation that I'd had about the apostolic anointing had come back to me, and it started to flood my mind and my heart again. Instantly, that conversation was so real. I had received a word. But I had received a word from all of creation. I had received a word from an obedient red-tailed hawk. That's what I really believe. I believe the prophet pointed toward me, toward a message that God wanted to give me. And that message was for the next morning. And that message, I was so perhaps not aware that it was going to happen, that God actually illuminated it. And so that hawk gave me a message. It came to speak a message to me. God was using his creation to speak a message to someone. Now, am I going to go out and get a hawk tattoo and start hawk watching? I am not. Because it's not about the hawk. It's about God. I'm not changing the name of the church from New Life to New Hawk. Because if I get so focused on hawks, then all of a sudden I miss every other way that God wants to speak to me. The journey is about intimacy with God. A word from the Word of God will point you toward God. A word from a real prophet will point you toward God. And God was using a red-tailed hawk last Sunday morning to point me toward him. And so he had me, hook, line, and sinker. And I wanted to know what God was trying to tell me. Was the hawk carrying, the hawk was carrying a piece of message from God? I believe he was. I believe so, and I believe the message come to me in a form of a question. And here's the question that I got as I watched the hawk fly from east to the west, illuminated by the sun. What if I want to pour out a new wave of apostolic power? That was the question. You see how God does things? You see how God, you got to stay aware of what God's doing, and I miss it so many times. All of a sudden, what God would say, why doesn't God talk? And he says, that's because you won't shut up, number one. Number two, you think I have to talk all at once. I'm talking in pieces. You've got to listen. It's not about the word. It's about the journey, the intimacy with me. Will you stay in tune with me? And so God spoke to me. He used a 21st century prophet. He used an obedient red-tailed hawk. And then I heard the words from God. Was it audible? I'm going to argue maybe it was. I don't know. To me, it was audible. I think God can make it sound very audible, and I'm only hearing it with my inside ears. I get that. And I know that God speaks all languages. I know God is not bent toward English-speaking people. But every time God speaks to me, he speaks to me in English. I don't know. It's just a phenomenon. And so he spoke to me that question. What if I want to pour out a new wave of apostolic power? And at the top of your handout today, that power to advance the light, listen, through signs, wonders, and mighty works. What if I want to do that, he says. That's the question. He left me there. He left me there all the rest of that day. He just left me with a question. What if I want to do that? What if I want to advance the light through signs, wonders, and mighty works? What if I want to pour out an apostolic anointing on not just one, on any? Not only on one, but any. What do you think, New Life? Because, see, I think God often asks the question because he's not going to force it down your throat. And he's asking the question not only to me, because I think that I have been given the task or the assignment to take the words from God and make them public to New Life. Certain words I will never do that with because they're mine. They're personal words. This was not one of them. I heard God say, what if I want to pour out an apostolic power, an apostolic anointing on not just one, but on any? What if I want to do that? And so I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question. And you can't answer that question for me. I need to answer that question. But the question is before us. And I didn't just make this up. I didn't read this off sermon.com. I didn't steal this sermon from somebody else online. This sermon was birthed in me over the process, over the steps that God had taken me over this 48-hour period. To start me on a journey to understand what God was asking. Because I know, for one thing, I don't want to say yes without some understanding that God wants to give me before I say yes. So just to be honest, I have not said yes yet. But I don't think I'm the only one in this parking lot that has to say yes. God says, I want to advance the light. And I want to do it. Something to be evangelist. I'm not talking about the evangelist right now. I'm talking about the prophet and the apostle right now. And he said, I want to advance the light through signs and wonders and mighty works. I don't know about you, but sometimes that stuff can freak me out. And standing up here, I want to be so quick to say yes. But I want to understand what that means, God. I want more of that. God, do you want to pour out the power to advance the light, capital A-L, light, through the signs and wonders and mighty works, not only on one, but on any? What do you think? What do you think? What if you, I'm just going to ask you straight out, what if you are one of the any? What if you are one of the any? What if you are one of the any? And if you think my eyes are looking at you, I am. What if you are one of the any? What if it's the truth? What if God wants to pour out his anointing, his apostolic anointing on you so that you can advance the light, so you can be part of the team that's advancing the light with through signs and wonders and mighty works? I do not think this power will be forced on you or forced on me. To me, just to be honest, I feel like I'm standing on the big beam in the barn. Now, others have jumped off this beam. Others have landed safely in the hay below. But it's not about the others right now. It's about me right now. I got to jump. That's what I feel right now. And I can talk about the hay. I can talk about the beam. I can talk about others that have jumped. I can talk about others that won't jump. But it's not about that right now. You are standing on the beam. I'm standing on the beam. And I've been on that beam physically in my life, standing on the beam, ready to jump off into the hay. And there's some hesitations. So let me just run down through a list of hesitations, because I think Gideon in the Old Testament was being asked some of the very same questions. And this is where the questions where I went this week. As I stood on that saying, yes, God, I want to, but I got some hesitations. He said, let's talk through those hesitations. Because still God's up in the air, I think. Still God is just offering. He's waiting for willingness. I don't know if he's going to do it or he's not going to do it. All he's asking is for willingness right now. And I think the sixth chapter of Judges, Gideon is being asked by God to do a mighty work. And God is going to empower him. And he's going to advance the light through the enemy. And he's going to do amazing things. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6 of Judges 6. And it says this. Judges 6. God's people in the first 5 verses, they were enslaved by the world. They were just doing life. They were endeavoring to avoid the enemy of the world and just survive. I just want to survive. And God says, I'm not just about you surviving. I'm about you knowing me intimately, and I'm about you knowing that I want to advance this light into the dark places. And so we come to verse 6 of that same chapter, and it says, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Picking up in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came down and sat. The angel of the Lord, just so you know, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus. We can have a discussion about that later, but I'm guaranteeing you the angel of the Lord, not our angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord is Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus was active in the Old Testament. Jesus was active at creation. Jesus is active all through the Bible, all through the history of God. And here he is. Jesus is bringing a word. The same Jesus that's bringing a word to us today. The same Jesus that sat with Gideon is sitting with you right now. And he might be saying the same thing to you, because you might be one of the any. the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Josiah the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Just so you know, I find it very interesting that the name Gideon means warrior. We can talk about that more later. I've got so much here, I got to get going, I know. But here we had the warrior. Here we had one that God wanted to anoint to do something amazing. And he was doing something outside of where God had him. He said, I just want to give you the anointing and let you live up to my calling on your life. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Really what he's saying, the Lord is with you, mighty Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Are you ready to move? I think that's what God was saying. Are you ready to move? Jesus said, are you ready to move, Gideon? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to get out of this cave? Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to have the anointing, Gideon? But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers spoke about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of Midian. This does not make sense to me, Gideon said. I've only heard about it. And I can't make sense of this. I can't make sense that if you're with us, God, why is it happening? Why is this happening in our lives? Or why is this not happening anymore? Why aren't we seeing the signs and the wonders? Why aren't we seeing those things that our forefathers spoke to us about? If you are with us, then why are we in this situation? And I believe that God was saying, God, we have heard about your apostolic anointing, but we have seen little. Listen to what God says in response to that. I believe God has changed my heart on this passage of Scripture, and I shared it with some people on Monday and Wednesday night. And I believe that God is answering. God is in this intimate relationship with Gideon because God wants to give him an anointing that's going to make him different, that's going to advance his light, that's going to defeat the enemy in his life and many other people's life. And he's going to advance the light into the darkness, and God wants to give him this anointing. But he won't just force it on Gideon, but he shows up in Gideon's life. When Gideon maybe is at the down, at the lowest part of his life, he's not living his calling. He's hiding in a cave. He's trying to get along. He's just trying to survive. He's just trying to deal with the enemy any way he can and just survive. And Jesus shows up in his life, and he says this, do you want the anointing? And Gideon says, I've heard about the anointing. I've heard about this anointing. I've heard about these signs and wonders that you do through people, God. I heard about Moses. I heard about when he went up to the Red Sea and he touched the Red Sea with his staff. And I heard about the sea dividing, that mighty work that definitely had supernatural power attached to it. I've heard about them, but I don't see them. The Lord turned to him and said this. Jesus turned to him and said this. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Woo. I think he's saying, I'm offering this to you today. The hawk is in flight. I'm here now speaking to you. The anointing that was you're speaking of is the one speaking to you right now. Let me say that again to make sure we got it. The anointing that you're talking about, Gideon, is the anointing that's speaking to you right now. You long for those times. You long for that. You don't think that that's real anymore in your life. Don't you just love it? Here we are 1,000 years later or less. And then Gideon says, that doesn't happen anymore in our lives. God doesn't do those things anymore in our life. He doesn't do the miraculous things. He doesn't move mountains anymore. He doesn't split seas anymore. He doesn't cause the blind to see. He doesn't cause the lame to walk anymore. That was yesterday, Gideon is saying. And Jesus is saying to him, don't you know you're talking about the anointing that came from me, and I want to give you that anointing today. The reason it's not happening in your life is because too many people are backing off the beam. I'll get moving. 15 says this, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I do this? How can I receive this anointing? How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I don't know who else in this parking lot that God's asking to put the anointing on, but I know he's asking me. And I got to tell you, I feel a little like Gideon. God, who am I that you would call me? Who am I that you would offer me the anointing? Who am I? I'm just Joe Schmo, ex-cow farmer. Who am I? I failed at 17 other jobs, God. Who am I? I'm jacked up, God. I've made mistakes in my life. Who am I, God? Who am I? I am not even the best looking in my family. I'm not even the smartest. Out of four children, I probably rank right around four. And so I have that. Do I have what it takes, God? That's my hesitation. I got to be honest with you this morning. That's my hesitation. Yeah, do I have what it takes, God? Don't you know how I messed up my life? Don't you know how I failed so many times? But yet he's sitting next to me, and he's sitting next to some of you. And he said, I know. But I'm offering you the anointing. The apostolic anointing. The one that would advance the light into dark places through signs, wonders, and mighty works. Don't let me get rid of that. I'm nailing us down to that. Because hey, who doesn't want to advance the light? Sure. But through signs, wonders, and mighty works, that's what we're talking about, miraculous things. The blind seeing. Walking on water, and I'm not just talking figuratively. Do you really think God still does those things? Then what if he wants to do them through you? See, it's pretty cool if I can get Tobin to stand up here and jump, 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 jump. But he's not the one standing on the beam. I am. Some of you are. And hesitation number one in my life is just that. Do I have what it takes, God? I'm without strength. I am a nobody. I cannot do it. I am weak. My economic situation is bad. My social status, you should see the comments on my Facebook. And just so you know, I got a whole list of other people even sitting right here that, God, why don't you look at them? See, I'm throwing you under the bus. Am I making sense today? The Lord answered in verse 16, the Lord answered, I'll be with you, and you will do this, and you will strike down the Midianites together. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. Not only are you going to strike down the Midianites, but you're going to do this miraculous work. They're all going down at once. Can you imagine that? See what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do, Gideon, is the first thing I'm going to do in your life is I'm going to give you this miraculous sign. Any army can go in there and kind of after a month or two of battle can defeat the enemy. But just so you know, you're going to strike them all down at once. Woo! The anointing is going to come on you, Gideon. and you're going to do some amazing things. And I will be with you. And Gideon replied, if I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it will be, that it is really you talking to me. Honestly, I had that question the same time Gideon did. And I think that's hesitation number two in my life. Am I really talking to God? God, was it really the hawk from you? Is he really a 21st century prophet? Do you really give some to be prophets and apostles still today? God, is it you? Are those days over? Am I feeling a little like Gideon? Are those days over? And so hesitation number two, and I think it's a valid one. Am I really hearing from God? What if it's not God? What if I jump and it's not him? What if I jump and it's not God? I'm going to simply say, Gideon spent some time, verses 18 through 24, really doing business with God to ensure that it was God in his life. And I would ask us to do the same thing. To assure that it's God asking you. Assure that it's God sitting next to you. To assure that it's God asking you, can he anoint you with the apostolic anointing? I'm not letting us off of that. To advance the light through signs, wonders, and mighty works. The same night, verses 25 and 26, the same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, and the one 7 years old, which is interesting. They had been under the Midian's control for 7 years. I don't know about that yet. We'll study that more. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of it, this height. Use the wood from the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Interesting. You know what that hesitation is, I think, as I processed that and thought through that passage. And I think Gideon is asking, can I change? I've been handed this stuff from my dad and from his dad and from his dad and from his dad and from my mom, and they've spoke stuff into my life, and it's here, and they're already set up in my family, and that's the way it is, and this is just the way the family does. The family doesn't really believe that there's signs and wonders and mighty works anymore. God, do you know that? Do you know my family really doesn't believe that anymore? And now, do you really know that you're asking me to do something that completely alters what my family believes in? Yes, I do feel that. And so he's asking Gideon, you've got some stuff in your life that's been handed down to you. It's not producing life in your life. And I want you to let me change you in the process. I want you to know that, and ask the question, are you sure it's me, God? Are you sure it's you, God? Can I change, God? Can I live in that anointing? Can I live in the way you want me to live? Can I change? Verse 27 says, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night. I love that part. He did it at night. Because he was afraid of what people would think. He's asking the question, will I stand out? Will I get noticed? Will I be accused of something that I'm really not supposed to be accused of? Hesitation number four is, what if others are not supportive of this anointing in my life? What if your kids or your spouse or your mom or your dad think you've completely lost your lid? I'll tell you what, if that's not a question in your life, it's a question in my life. What about people, God? What about, you know who I work with? You know who my coworkers are? You know the other network of pastors I work with? Do you know what that could cost? You know where that would go? I can write page after page after page after page of that. And I never heard God say once, well, I didn't really know that. So let me take notes and we'll reacclimate everything to what, now that I do know it. Verse 29, and we're almost there. I'm on the last page of my notes. We're almost there. We're almost back to the question. Verse 29, They ask each other who did this. When they carefully investigated it, they were told that Gideon, the son of Joash, was the one that did it. Will the change go unnoticed in your life? No. Just let me simply say no. You are not going to receive the apostolic anointing to advance the light through signs, wonders, and miraculous works and not be noticed. Gideon thought he could live under the radar. Gideon thought he could live this life under the radar, so he did it at night. But all of a sudden, all the people know who did it. They know who's living under the anointing. Verse 33 says this: Now all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped at the valley of Jezreel. Hesitation number 5, will this make any difference anyway? Yes. Because if Gideon didn't do what he was called to do, what he was anointed to do, if Gideon was not going to do that, the enemy was already planning to take his country, to take his people, to take his land. The only way that was going to be stopped is if Gideon lived under the anointing. If you think I've lost my marbles, it was good to have you at New Life. Let me finish with this. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You know what that means? Gideon said yes. You know what that means? Gideon said yes. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he blew the trumpet, summoning the Abizarites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. So they too were joining him to advance the light when the enemy is trying to darken it. It's a long ways from a hawk in the middle of a field. Let me end with this. I'm really going to end with this, I promise. I don't have any idea what a time it is. This is a gate to keep me on the trailer. 1 21st century prophet. One hawk. One word of God. And one question. Will you receive? Will I receive? Will I receive the anointing, the apostolic anointing, to advance the light through signs, wonders, and mighty works? Yes. In Jesus' name, I receive that. God, thank you. God, to be honest, I had a week to wrestle with this in my heart and my spirit and ask those questions of myself over and over and over again. And so, Father, just honestly, I believe that Jesus, you're sitting next to some in this crowd. I don't know if it'll be this week or next week. But I truly believe when you said, I want to anoint any, not just one, that you will anoint others in this parking lot. And we will advance the light through signs, wonders, and mighty works. God, I just want to, I feel just like I'm sitting under the mighty oak with you, Jesus. Jesus, I believe you're calling, and I know that we'll leave here, we will. God, I want this. You've made me hungry for this. Thank you for an obedient hawk, an obedient 21st century prophet, the Word of God. Thank you for Gideon. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us to advance the light through signs, wonders, and mighty works. Father, anoint us. In Jesus' name, amen.